Grassroots Radio, Active Marijuana, Missouri's Marijuana Activist Radio. Graham, bringing Missourians news, education, information, inspiration, and motivation to end cannabis prohibition in a weekly kick-ass podcast format. Hosted by Trixie Phillips, a homegrown grassroots legalization activist standing up and speaking out. Hi everyone, thank you again for listening in. I'm your host, Trixie Phillips, a burgeoning grassroots activist striving to repeal marijuana laws and end the prohibition. Born and raised here in the Show Me State, and fired up about legalizing marijuana in Missouri. Enough about me, let's get to this kick-ass podcast. Again, thank you for listening to this, the horribly belated, first-ever edition of Grassroots Radio Active Marijuana 420 Specials, which can be found at marijuana.podomatic.com. Now that I think about it, it is, in fact, unofficially, the first Graham show ever. Now, as many of you gathered from the title, this show is about the holiday 420. What you may not guess is that this episode is not about celebrating the smoking of the sweet leaf, but it's about our need to claim this day as the day that consumers of marijuana stand up and speak out against prohibition. Now, let's see what we have in store for you. On today's show, we are going to take a closer look at the much maligned and much misunderstood cannabis genus of plants, also known as marijuana, hemp, ganja, weed, or green. Whatever you call it, a rose is a rose in cannabis breakdown. Next, we cover three movements changing the public image of the cannabis consumer from burnout to fellow citizen by changing the toker's holiday of 420 from party to a day of political and social action in reframe of mind. Finally, call to arms, my personal appeal to you about the importance of all cannabis consumers to get off the couches and in the streets to report for activism duty. Also included on today's show, for your listening pleasure, two excellent pod-safe tunes that will inspire and motivate, all while entertaining. At 20 past the hour, the 420 minute of reflection for those imprisoned and those who have fallen in the war on drugs. In addition, if we have time, filler, stuff to fatten your gray cells with. It's going to be one hell of an action-packed hour of reform madness, so strap yourself in while we pay some bills and stay tuned. We will be right back with more activism action. Are you like me when it comes to forums? Confused and distracted by all the clutter and excess? I don't have time to sort through the topics and the graphics distract me from effectively utilizing them. That is why I use 420boards.org Activist Forum, with straightforward content geared toward activists 18 and over working on legalization of cannabis. Stop by 420boards.org and get active.
And it goes down smooth.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ Belville, host of Normal Show Live. You can catch our Marijuana Talk radio show every weekday from 4 to 6 Eastern at live.normal.org. We bring you the latest news, interviews, music, and the occasional radical rant made by, for, and about the cannabis community. High Times editor Dave Bienenstock calls Normal Show Live the NPR of POT with better music. It's Normal Show Live, talk radio for tokers, live weekdays at 4 Eastern at live.normal.org.
That reminds me, I met Grey Wolf, 420boards.org creator, in Normal Show's chat. Great information provided by even greater people. Speaking of great information, it's time for Cannabis Breakdown. Enjoy! Although I'm new to cannabis reform activism, I am not new to the experience of its use. I started consuming when I was about 19 or 20, and I am now 35, so that gives me about 15 years of experience with the herb in one way or another. Some of you, new to cannabis, will find that impressive, while others listening will think me nothing but a young pup, still wet behind the ears. Either way, I am sure the truth lies somewhere in between, kind of like Wikipedia graffiti, or Wikifeedy, as I like to call it. While it is impressive, it is not the fact that I have been smoking for a decade and a half that should impress, and while I am still a young pup, that is not what makes me wet behind the ears. What should impress is that for all those years I was ignorant, my eyes closed how truly versatile, beneficial, and necessary this plant is, blind to anything but its qualities of recreation. It was as if having my head submerged in a bucket of toxic waters of urban legend and reefer madness. Unknowingly, like most people, frantic and clamoring for a way out. I did not realize how negatively these things influenced my frame of mind until I stumbled upon Normal Show Live's Stick Cam program and started to learn that cannabis was more than a recreational substance. It was as if someone pulled my head free of the bucket and gave me a towel to wipe my eyes. I believed many incorrect quote-unquote facts of reefer madness and the typical urban mythology that springs up tailored to the local tongues. Not to mention those custom-made head games your brain plays as an unwitting and unknowing soldier in a war that governments around the world wage on their citizens and that societies allow to persist. Now I know the endocannabinoid system in the body responds well to all forms of cannabinoids or active chemical compounds, like THC, produced by the cannabis genus of plants as medicine and for general health and well-being. I suspect, as science better understands the interaction of cannabinoids within the human body, it will revolutionize the pharmaceutical industry, as long as the government does not give them sole reign over research by moving it from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2, allowing them to make super drugs out of the compounds found in pot. However, it is not just the tens of, if not hundreds of, medical applications that make it such a valuable and advantageous plant, but there are also tens of thousands of means to utilize the plant agriculturally and industrially. From nutritious food products made from the seeds and oils, to fibers for cordage and textiles, as well as biodegradable replacements for plastics and other petroleum-based products. That list goes on and on and on, and if that is not enough reason to legalize, there are approximately 35,000 deaths a year from alcohol consumption, with a whopping zero deaths a year from cannabis. You heard right, folks. No one dies or has died in the last 5,000 years of recorded history from the use of cannabis. I will not assume that all those listening know nothing of the plant's benefits to humankind. In fact, most of you will heard most of this being loyal listeners of either JDR, CSA, NSL, or any of the other badass shows on the Normal Network. Gotta love free plugs, right? That, or you are one of my friends or family who have heard me going on and on about these matters already. For those of you with your head stuck in a bucket of murky water, consider this your helping hand out and complimentary towel to wipe your eyes dry. Now, let us take a walk and talk of these matters as students talk of the new discoveries made in traversing the passages of their assigned text. Let us start with a brief, extremely brief, history of cannabis. Evidence goes back over 10,000 years with hemp fiber imprints found on pottery from what is now China and Taiwan. 3,500 BCE to 2,500 BCE, evidence of its use in religious and medical rites and rituals as well as agricultural applications can be found throughout the Central and East Asian, Eastern and Central European, Mediterranean, and African cultures. The use of the cannabis plant continued in various forms and cultures from the Aryans or Indo-Persians who brought its use to India, which is later included in the Vedics, to the Scythians, who Herodotus, a Greek historian, remarks on its use for spiritual and recreational uses around the 5th century BC. A few hundred years later, the Chinese make the first paper from hemp and mulberry, about 100 BC, and by 70 AD, people were growing cannabis in England. For the next 1,000 years, it spreads throughout Europe, becoming a staple crop for many countries and peoples. By 1100 AD, Muslims use hemp to produce the first paper in Europe, and its use continues for the next 850 years. In the year 1492, Columbus sails the ocean blue, while rope and sails made from hemp make this voyage possible. Cannabis cultivation made its way to the colonies by no later than 1611, and by the 1920s, cannabis was a staple crop worldwide, with some cultivation found in most countries, while supplying 80% of the world's textiles. It has only been within the last 100 years that any laws were established to prohibit the cultivation and use of cannabis when South Africa outlawed the plant. The first national prohibition of cannabis in the United States was the 1937 Marijuana Tax Act, which although the law itself did not outright outlaw all varieties of cannabis, it did greatly restrict the ability for anyone, including doctors to prescribe it, to cultivate, sell, or use cannabis, seeing as how the government did not issue any tax stamps. Though hemp did get a brief repeal during World War II when the United States government needed farmers to grow hemp to make the rope and textiles needed for war, but when the war was over, so was hemp's return to agricultural cultivation in America. It all goes downhill from there, and by 1973, against the advice of his commission to end the marijuana prohibition, President Nixon declares a war on drugs and forms a Drug Enforcement Agency, or DEA. Although, during the mid and late 70s, 11 states had decriminalized, the end of the decade saw a drastic turn of events leading into the 1980 elections. President Reagan's administration saw the escalation of hostilities with the enactment of mandatory minimum sentencing. By 1996, a beacon of light appears, with California passing Proposition 215, and now 16 states in the District of Columbia have some form of medical marijuana programs, with legalization looming in one of the states come the 2012 election season. Well, that ends the history lesson. We can see that humanity has a long tradition of utilizing this plant for a multitude of purposes throughout various cultures. Now it is time to look at current events in the world of cannabis. Although taxonomists, scientists responsible for describing, identifying, naming, and classifying organisms, categorizations of the plant have changed over time. Current classification by the United States Department of Agriculture groups all cannabis as the species Cannabis sativa L, with indica and sativa being subspecies, with hemp typically being Cannabis sativa L containing 1% or less THC. Our government uses this classification to keep it in line with federal laws prohibiting Cannabis sativa L, to avoid challenges in court on the basis that it may have been Cannabis indica for all the court knows. The feds like to change the rules to fit the laws established, making the plant in all forms illegal, even hemp, which cannot get you high. For the general public, we typically have three classifications. Hemp, which most of us understand as a variety used for agricultural and industrial applications. And then we have sativa and indica, most commonly known for their recreational uses, but are now recognized more and more for their therapeutic medicinal properties. Thus, we can see the plant has three main categories of utilization within our society, within agricultural and industrial sectors, the health and medical communities, and the most recognized of all its uses, recreational. Let us start with the most familiar of these, its usage for recreational purposes. As most of us are familiar, you can smoke or vaporize the plant or various extracts like hash and hash oil to inhale the THC and other cannabinoids to experience the psychoactive effects of THC and some of the other 66 or more cannabinoid compounds. These are the fastest means by which to feel the psychoactive properties with the highest peak but the quickest rate of decline, usually bottoming out within a half hour. For those of you who do not already know, vaporizing is when you heat the buds, hashish, or hash oil to a point at or below the boiling point to release the desired chemical compounds while avoiding those produced when burning the plant matter. This reduces the harms of inhalation of high temperatures caused to the lungs by smoke and avoids the release of carbon monoxide and the creation of carcinogenic compounds. Other means to consume cannabis is the ingestion of edibles or food goods made from ingredients such as butter and oils infused with the cannabinoids by heat extraction. Edibles take from a half an hour to an hour and a half to set in, being one of the slower methods of achieving the high, and the peak is substantially lower than that of inhalation, but provides the longest sustained high. There are many traditional drinks comprised of heating cannabis and tea or other herbs in water with some type of saturated fat to release the cannabinoids. One of the most common traditional drinks being tea with either milk or butter added during the preparation process. These tend to be less potent than edibles due to the need to apply heat for longer periods than a typical brewed drink calls for to reach maximum potency of the cannabinoids. There are other methods such as the use of ethanol, alcohol, vinegar, or glycol to extract the cannabinoids, much like vanilla and other extracts, called tinctures. You can also eat or juice the raw plant material, whether it is fresh or dried, and again get similar effects to those of edibles, but without heating the plant materials, they are less potent. Now, do you recall hearing me describe the effects of THC's high as psychoactive? Sounds like a bad thing, correct? While it sounds quite an impressive word, not to mention scary, it is not as bad as it sounds. We find psychoactive chemicals throughout day-to-day life, from caffeine to nicotine and alcohol, to many common prescription drugs such as all opioid and coca-derived drugs, barbiturates, mood stabilizers, antidepressants, analgesics, and anti-inflammatory-based pharmaceuticals, to name a few. These compounds cross the blood-brain barrier and primarily act upon the central nervous system, affecting brain function, which changes perception, mood, consciousness, cognition, and behavior. We accept this as a society with so many dangerous psychoactive substances, in particular alcohol and tobacco, both of which are responsible for well over 400,000 deaths a year, but recoil when the word is used towards illicit drugs, in particular cannabis. Although the fact that so many legal products are psychoactive gets left unmentioned to the public, but is often brought up when prohibitionists talk of cannabis, if one were to speculate, it does seem probable that this knowledge of so many legal goods would remove the shock and awe value of a word such as psychoactive. Besides THC, it contains other cannabinoids that, although active, are not psychoactive, and the ratios of these compounds to one another alter THC's effects. Scientific research sheds new light on the way these compounds interact with the neurotransmitters in the brain and body, acting upon our endocannabinoid system that our ancestors discovered millennia ago. Well known to the medical community is the ability to relieve nausea and vomiting caused by many conditions and pharmaceutical regimens used to treat diseases. It also stimulates hunger in patients who suffer from wasting associated with AIDS, chemotherapy, and a variety of other diseases and disorders, reduces interocular pressure of the eyes associated with glaucoma, and is a proven analgesic or pain reliever. Over 50 studies show that the naturally occurring cannabinoids in marijuana have the ability to stop some forms of cancer from growing, and in other types, it triggers cell death. First noted in 1973, yet this information was known to the government and was not released until decades later. The list goes on and on, from multiple sclerosis, spinal cord injuries, Crohn's and other diseases of the bowels, mental disorders such as bipolar, depression, and anxiety, to Parkinson's, PTSD, epilepsy, and many, many more conditions. You will not hear me claim it will cure all of humanity's woes, but what we can learn from it and about the way the compounds interact within our bodies stands to change the medical profession as we know it. In addition to being one of, if not the safest recreational substance available, and the most medically effective plants and plant compounds, it is also the most versatile natural resource available to humanity in the form of hemp. With tens of thousands of uses, including paper, textiles, biodegradable plastics, construction materials, fuel, healthy, nutritious food products, and one of the fastest growing biomasses, which requires little pesticides and no herbicides, this plant is the most valuable crop on the planet. Yet this plant, its cultivation and distribution, is federally outlawed in all forms in the United States of America, labeled as a bane to its citizens, with no medical value, that poses great harms to the user and society. Slandered as a slayer of children's youth and corrupter of nations, that leads people to crime, hard drugs, death and destruction, this image of cannabis has to change, and consumers becoming knowledgeable and spreading the truth is how we will accomplish this necessary change in image, which will lead to legalization. There are so many good reasons out there to legalize this plant and move on. Speaking of moving on, it's time for our next commercial break. Stick with us, and we'll be right back. News, politics, good times, and better friends with, of course, Elvis, all served up with a hot cup of Java by your host and hostess, Lively Libra and Mr. Libra. Join chat regulars Randy, 1971, and Grey Wolf as the Libra Lounge pisses everyone off whilst medicating and over-caffeinating live Sunday mornings at stickcam.com/LivelyLibra and is available on livelylibra.podomatic.com. 34,598 people committed suicide in 2007, according to the National Institute of Mental Health Statistics. With 11 times as many attempts, chances are you know someone dealing with suicidal thoughts and/or tendencies. If you suspect someone has attempted or will attempt suicide, stay with them and seek medical treatment from either their doctor or the nearest hospital immediately, or call 911. Are you tired of state and federal governments wasting a trillion and counting of your tax dollars? while at the same time, billions more are lost in economic and tax revenues to drug cartels? There is a solution. Stand up and speak out. Get off the couch and in the streets. Volunteer with SUSO to end marijuana prohibition by emailing SUSOvolunteers@live.com. We are back with more Kick-Ass Reform Madness. Coming up now, the 420 minute, where I take a moment to reflect on the need to change our image to change these inane laws. The brave have always defined what the rest of us wish to be. However, bravery is misunderstood. It is not the absence of fear, but the will to overcome it. United States Marine Corps quote, "Now is the time. History is on our side. We must all summon the inner fortitude to overcome our individual fears. This war has stolen too many futures and taken too many lives. I know this is not an easy task. Fear is a powerful beast, not easily tamed. But we must first find the strength of will to conquer it, and that is why I pledge to you the following. With every day I wake and every breath I draw, I dedicate every feeling, every thought, and every action to freeing those unjustly incarcerated, honoring those senselessly and brutally murdered, and to protecting our inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Hoorah!" Now that I got that off my chest, it is time to motivate you with the first of our songs by Greenleaf. What makes this group truly unique and memorable? Call it talent, magic, or whatever, Greenleaf has it. A supergroup of the stoner rock scene and formed by a revolving cast of musicians who share a love of heavy rock. Take note, when a band sounds like Kiss meets Black Sabbath meets ZZ Top meets Pink Floyd, they have to kick ass. Without any further ado, 10,000 Years of Revolution.
Oh! you can try.
That is one badass song. I don't know about you, but I'm motivated to get off the couch and go into the streets, ready to take action. Welcome back, everyone. Now that we have properly stoked the fires of dissent, it is time for our next segment that explores three groups looking to change the image of the cannabis consumer from a burnout loser and criminal to that of everyday citizen in reframe of mind. Let us face the facts. The stigma of burnout, loser, addict, and criminal are merely a few of the stereotypes that liable cannabis consumers and impede legalization. These misconceptions will persist until the majority of cannabis consumers stop hiding in the shadows like rats in a sewer and step out into the light of day with our heads held high, united with common purpose. Until that time, prohibitionists, drug warriors, and politicians have free rein to slander cannabis with reefer madness propaganda to perpetuate the war that they carry out against cannabis consumers and have for the last 40 years with the war on drugs. In reality, most people who partake of cannabis recreationally are normal, everyday people who, like consumers of alcohol, use it responsibly as adults. Just as with alcohol consumers, we run the gambit from fast food employees to construction workers, teachers and professors, office professionals, doctors, lawyers, scientists, entertainers, business owners, police, politicians, priests, billionaires, and broke asses. In essence, we are people who go to work, do our jobs, and go home to our lives. We live amongst everyone else and are a part of this society, yet we are the scapegoat for politicians and drug warriors alike, hiding our faces behind crime statistics to maintain this veiled war on drugs through scare tactics. They, in essence, have turned us into boogeymen, a false threat used to frighten children and the morally righteous to maintain budgets and pressure foreign nations. In America, 1 million registered medical marijuana patients nationwide and approximately 14 million more adults a year consume cannabis annually for recreational and medical purposes. This makes us a powerful consumer base that, if united, would quickly legalize cannabis, but we stand divided, and that is how they have and will continue to conquer us and subjugate us to their will. Pending action, our state and federal governments will continue on this path, wasting another $1 trillion in tax dollars fighting the war on drugs while at the same time stifling economic growth and missing business and tax revenues from local, state, interstate, and international businesses. Persist on ruining people's futures by arresting over 800,000 people a year, as well as incurring the cost of the million or more persons incarcerated for nonviolent drug offenses. Seek to turn children into informants against users of cannabis with the Drug Abuse Resistance Education Program, regardless if this may include the child's parents. Stand in the way of science, medicine, and patients' rights by refusing to recognize cannabis's medical efficacy, thereby permitting people to suffer and die needlessly. Allow no-knock drug warrants leading to the needless destruction of property, risks to the public safety with the use of high-powered automatic weapons in residential areas, and the senseless and tragic loss of human life. Corrode our constitutional rights by stretching to the breaking point the boundaries and limits put on police to then grant them greater power to enforce drug laws, and also passing and modifying existing laws to further encroach on and force us to give up our enumerated and unenumerated constitutionally guaranteed rights. We have to reclaim our image in the public eye by changing the stereotypes. This starts with changing 420 from the perceived day that stoners set aside to get high, killing more brain cells while setting a bad example for the children, encouraging them to use pot and inevitably heroin, to the day that consumers take social and political action claiming our place in society. Admittedly, it is an excellent time for us to gather in our groups and cliques to spend time together talking, laughing, and sharing merriment. At the same time, though, nothing will change. The judicial system will continue to arrest, convict, and jail people over the cultivation, distribution, and consumption of cannabis, destroying families, futures, and ending lives. The violence in Mexico and other regions of the world will worsen as criminal organizations fight each other and governments over the phenomenal profits that they stand to make in trafficking and supplying the illicit substances needed to meet our demands. This and much worse is in store for us unless we summon the courage as individuals to each take our first bold step out of the darkness and into the light. We have to conquer our fears, even feed on our fears, lest they feed on us, so that we can lead the way to the promised land of legalization. It is not an easy task to take a stand against marijuana prohibition and challenge authority to change the laws, to change the course of this great nation. But as we prepare ourselves with knowledge, gaining strength in numbers, and fortifying ourselves in unity bound by a common purpose, change becomes inevitable. That brings us to the meat and potatoes of this segment, the movements working to change the image of 420 and thereby transforming the fabricated image of the cannabis consumer from that of a drug-addicted ne'er-do-well to the true image of normal everyday people from all walks living their lives as contributing members of society. I chose two grassroots movements and one professionally organized event that I felt symbolized a transition in attitude towards cannabis consumption necessary to reframe the debate about marijuana cannabis legalization in the public eye. I chose two grassroots movements and one professionally organized event that I felt symbolized a transition in attitude towards cannabis consumption necessary to reframe the debate about marijuana legalization in the public eye. Before I go any further, I would like to take the opportunity to state that I am founder of Stand Up and Speak Out, which I will be discussing in this segment. I say this to maintain transparency and so that you do not feel as though you were tricked into listening to a cleverly disguised commercial. Having said that, I now draw your attention to Deep Green, a production of Earth Dance Global in association with United Earthworks. While in actuality, this event was the first Earth Day celebration combining cannabis, health, and ecology held on April 23rd, it is, I think, the concept of this event that is a key component to legalization. Deep Green came about in response to the excesses and party atmosphere surrounding 420 that only serves to focus the public on the outrageous behaviors of a few, which alienates responsible adult medical consumers from the public eye. Held in Richmond, California at the Craneway Pavilion and billed as the launching pad for the new 21st century story of cannabis, with over 75 exhibitors, 30 speakers from experts and activists, day and evening entertainment, educational exhibits, gourmet food, workshops that were held by leading authorities and changemakers, and much, much more. Deep Green highlighted and explored sustainable organic gardening and farming for private and economic uses, natural cannabis and herbal remedies, as well as the science of medical marijuana and business opportunities in cannabis and hemp production, dispensary and cannabis product marketing, cultivation, medical distribution, and hemp farming. Again, even though this event did not take place on 420, I do feel that every day is an opportunity to effect a change away from prohibition, and, as I said before, it is the concept of Deep Green that is important to changing our image. Holding events such as these will show local communities the value of cannabis as more than just a means to alter one's state of mind for recreational purposes. Although there is nothing wrong with altering your state of mind per se, but it is the public's perception of us that needs altered, and Deep Green is perfect for such a task. It offered everyone, consumers and non-consumers, a relaxing and hospitable environment to learn about established uses of cannabis as well as what lies beyond in the coming years as businesses develop and our culture becomes accepted. All this while affecting a positive change in perception of cannabis and its consumers. Next, it is time to discuss Overgrow the Government, the first of two grassroots movements that consist of volunteers donating their time and effort to provide citizens well-organized and constructive public forums to protest against marijuana prohibition. The founders, growing tired of the misinformation, deceit, and hypocrisy that follow the tyranny of cannabis prohibition, joined to form Overgrow the Government as an umbrella organization for all Americans of every background, occupation, lifestyle, socioeconomic level, race, creed, and color. Seeing the need to unify the cannabis movement, these activists devoted themselves to giving the people the power to empower themselves by providing a setting to tell their stories and let their voices be heard at our nation's capital. Holding combined 420 rallies and marches annually in Washington, D.C., with other events planned as frequently as possible, for citizens to send our federal politicians a strong message. End cannabis prohibition now. Starting at the Washington Monument and proceeding to protests through Lafayette Park, with the march continuing to Lafayette Square by George Washington's statue, protesters drew the attention of park visitors, often interacting with the rest of the public. Reaching their destination, guest speakers, comprised of activists and experts in cannabis law reform, and overgrow attendees delivered speeches and talked about the medical, economic, recreational, environmental, spiritual, and religious benefits of cannabis, as well as shared their personal stories of love, loss, life, tragedy, and hope. Although they did not reach the attendance goal of 1 million persons or more, the rally was nevertheless a resounding success in bringing cannabis legalization into the light of day at our nation's federal political hub. Steadfastly devoted to the movement, the organizers now arrange a second event to take place this September. This time, the march originates at the Washington Monument's Sylvan Theater, proceeding through the streets, returning to the theater, where guests and attendees will speak, in addition to musical guests performing live. Overgrow continues to raise public awareness and maintain a presence within the public eye, which is crucial to maintaining the pressure on politicians, which is essential to cannabis legalization and ending its failed prohibition. Now, to the second of the two grassroots movements reviewed in Reframe of Mind, Stand Up and Speak Out, an international organization of like-minded volunteers bound together by a common desire to change the public image of cannabis consumers, facilitating the discourse quintessential to ending marijuana prohibition carried out through the failed policy known as a war on drugs. Starting out as a Facebook event challenging consumers to step out of the shadows and into the light, putting a human face to the issue by taking action and rallying at their state capitals on 420, it soon attracted others to the movement with similar ideals. This soon led to the formation of the international organization SUSO to facilitate the arrangement of safe, peaceful, law-abiding, and well-organized events for citizens worldwide. Simultaneously coordinated to first change the public perceptions of cannabis, and more importantly of its consumers, and second, to start the necessary debate to facilitate the transition from illicit to licit markets. With the event scheduled in mid-February and SUSO being formed by mid to late March, the time period allowed meant there was little time to plan, organize, and then orchestrate large events. Nevertheless, those that did take place in several of the states and the one overseas are the first of many steps that the dedicated professional and amateur volunteers will take in this endeavor. Committed to maintaining 420 rallies until governments worldwide remove criminal penalties for cannabis and currently illicit drugs, ceasing their failed national and international policies and programs, area coordinators are busy planning next year's 420 events. As life permits, SUSO state and national chapter coordinators are busy working on various projects and events aimed at sustaining public awareness about the necessity of cannabis legalization and maintaining pressure on political leaders, which, again, is key to ending the prohibition of cannabis fought through the war on drugs. These are just a few of the movements changing the image of cannabis and the eclectic mix of consumers worldwide to end this trifle and futile attempt to legislate people's appetites, which did not work with alcohol, and has clearly failed to work again. These are just a few of the movements changing the image of cannabis and the eclectic mix of consumers worldwide to end this trifle and futile attempt to legislate people's appetites, which did not work with alcohol, and has clearly failed to work again. It matters not whether you are male or female, rich or poor, young or old, gay or straight, religious or atheist, able or disabled. And nor does your race, creed, color, or nationality matter. We are all brothers and sisters in arms, unwillingly conscripted into this war on drugs. When we unite under the banner of compassion, understanding, and truth, standing proud as people, unified with common purpose, forsaking the weaponry, hostility, and lies of the prohibitionists, drug warriors, and politicians, equipping ourselves with knowledge, love, and truth, we will end cannabis prohibition. Deep Green, Overgrow the Government, and SUSO are just a few. Find an organization that is right for you. Get up, get out, get active. Legalization needs you. Now it is song time. Thicker Than a Smoky was written by Gary Higgins and recorded while awaiting sentencing for a marijuana conviction. Released on the hauntingly beautiful album Red Hash, but not mixed or mastered until after Gary's incarceration, and it died without proper promotion. Both Gary's musical career and the album were consumed in the fires of the war on drugs. Now sit back and inhale, Thicker Than a Smoky.
What do you intend to do, young man? Where do you intend to go? Will you take a trip through the deep dark south down in Mexico? Oh, oh. If you travel with a spider in your duffel bag, with your good weather goes. If you get hung up frozen, stay careful of snows. Oh, oh. It's often I wish to leave myself out of some fancy clothes. Get on a stretch of a winding road, pulling my canvas shows. Oh, honey, I'll be out of here in a Cadillac. Must have took an overdose. Quicker than a lucky down a railroad track. Honey wasn't even close. If I had a little message I could leave you with, hanging it on the door. But I don't, and it's just no use no more. I'm not anymore. Oh, honey, I'll be hustling a makeup slide. Give me a little hanging rope. Thicker than a smoky from a factory stand. But it wasn't even though.
Brilliant song. We will post links to today's songs on our page, marijuana.podomatic.com. Now time for a quick break. We will be right back with some more badass Prohibition Reformation.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin from the
John Doe Radio, doing it live on the Mile High with your host, Tim Martin. JDR provides timely, relevant, and accurate news and information, keeping consumers and activists up to date with great interviews, talk, live chat, and extended grow coverage. Check out John Doe Radio Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Denver time at stickcam.com/John Doe Radio or head to johndoeradio.com. You are worth it. You do deserve better. You do matter. Your pain is real. And there are others like you. Others will understand you. Others do care about you. Others want to help you. Now help them. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline's free and confidential 24-hour hotline to connect to one of their 150 National Crisis Centers. The number is 1-800-273-8255. Please, if you or someone you know is at risk, please reach out. Life is too precious to throw away. Rest in peace, Pogo. We all miss you, and we all wish we were there for you, brother. And now for our final segment, Call to Arms. Life is precious, and an old friend's recent passing solidifies my desire and galvanizes my resolve to end marijuana prohibition before this ravenous beast, known commonly as a war on drugs, consumes any more lives. I now implore you fellow Missourians, take action and get involved. Speak out privately and publicly. Educate yourselves and others to the dangers of prohibition and the benefits of legalizing marijuana before we lose another invaluable life as we did in Call to Arms. On the morning of May 5, 2011, Jose Guerna, a 26-year-old veteran of Iraq who survived the chaos of war during two tours, was gunned down by Pima County, Arizona SWAT, serving a no-knock drug warrant. Asleep after working a night shift at the copper mine, Jose awakes to his wife, Vanessa, screaming, "Do not shoot. I have a baby." A masked gunman outside their youngest son's bedroom window confronts her with him in arm. Fearing a home invasion, Jose tells his wife and son to take cover in the closet. Grabbing his assault rifle, safety on, he confronts the gunman, breaking down his front door in the manner customary to a man of military training forged in the fires of combat. Not much else is clear at this point, but in the following moments, a barrage of gunfire and accompanying brilliant flashes of light followed by deafening explosions of sound leave Jose laying there, bleeding out and dying, on the floor of his home as 60 of the 71 bullets fired by the SWAT hit their mark, rending flesh and shattering bone, as is the bullet's nature. They leave Jose lying on the floor of his home, his castle, surely terrified of an unknown fate that must await his wife and child. Over an hour passes after his wife frantically calls 911 pleading for help and for the paramedics to hurry before police are done fumbling around securing the home and before they allow paramedics to apply the skills of their trade. Alas, to no avail. Jose already dead, his gun safety still on, now in the hands of the Grim Reaper. His family was left to stare down the business end of hot black barrels held in the hands of trigger-happy men who murdered him. Jose Guerrero fired first, police claimed initially, only recanting after begrudgingly admitting that the assault rifle's safety was on and he could not fire. Now, as is customary when things go horribly awry and damage control is crucial, Sheriff Clarence Dupnik stepped up to the plate, sending a spokesperson to say no comment when asked whether or not drugs were found. In another bold move, Sheriff Clarence Dupnik delegated the responsibility of informing the media that Sheriff Dupnik will make the decision to release the information when the investigation is completed, the danger to innocent lives has been mitigated, and all agencies involved have been given the opportunity to review the actions of their personnel, among other things. Other things such as information surrounding the shooting of Jose Guerna by members of the Pima Regional SWAT team provided to the public has been misinformation and emotionally charged speculation, referring to the report provided to the media about Mr. Guerrero firing his safety-locked weapon first. Deputy Jason S. Ogan, Public Information Officer with Pima County Sheriff's Department, directed by Sheriff Dupnik, informed the media that it is unacceptable and irresponsible to coach those questions with implications of secrecy and cover-up, not to mention questioning the legality of actions that could not have been taken without the approval of an impartial judge. Of course, if a judge signs a man's death warrant that the letter of the law allows writ, signed, and sealed, one sees how the sheriff is shocked and awed at the lack of understanding the media possesses of state-sanctioned murder. However, not deterred, Mike Story, a lawyer for the SWAT, took up the task of informing the public certain information despite Sheriff Dupnik's warning about the dangers posed to others' lives and refusing to answer the question of whether or not officers found drugs during the raid. in Mr. Story's opinion, as a legal professional, defending the defenders of truth, justice, and the American way, the importance of releasing the information pertaining to the guns, body armor, and picture of patron saint of drug runners, Jesus Malverde, found at the Guerna home, their castle, to be so important that the public must know. The public must know that the danger to the SWAT team members' well-being superseded anyone in the home's safety, and that this justifies the SWAT's decision to delay permitting paramedics into the home while taking over an hour to ensure that the rest of the house is secured. Must not let the public think the officers violated protocol, allowing a man to bleed to death while in his own home, his castle. Why, in fact, that is proper police procedure, to fill a person full of holes, then let nature take its course while you secure the structure you are raiding. Besides, they still don't know how many more shooters there are, how many guns are inside, and they still have to assume that they will be ambushed if they walk in the house, Story explains. Of course, caution is of utmost importance since the 71 shots fired obviously alerted the other imaginary shooters to the SWAT's presence. They were circling the wagons when the SWAT's poor planning of this warrant led to overreaction and they found nothing in the house that was illegal. The ambulance arrived in 2 minutes, but police never allowed the emergency responders in, and it is nonsense framing the delay in providing the medical attention as a tactical decision by police. The pieces do not fit. This is a case of cover your ass, believes Chris Scalepi, Vanessa Guerrera's lawyer. Two members of her sister-in-law's family, Cynthia and Manny Orozco, were killed last year in their Tucson home, said Scalepi. Yet knowing this, the trigger's safety remained on, gun readied, military training still sharp, Jose courageously took his stand. Moments later, he is brutally gunned down. This citizen-turned-soldier, returned to civilian life, survived two tours in Iraq, interred now within the eternal soil of this good green earth, swaddled in his dress-blue Marine Corps uniform for time eternal, honored as a fallen hero by Leo Verdugo, Jose's master sergeant in Iraq. While he was under my command, he definitely pulled his weight, Leo Verdugo recalls. I have such a hard time grasping how something so tragic could happen, states Leo. At the wrong place, at the wrong time, in his own home, he speculates. Now, as is customary for those suffering the tragically brutal loss of a loved one murdered in front of their eyes, Vanessa is devastated and distraught, and as one would expect, she seeks justice. Justice for Jose and their two sons. Most important is a vindication of Jose by having his name cleared and his honor restored, said Scalepi. We were so worried when he was over there fighting terrorism, but he gets shot in his own home, Renee Ortiz, a relative helping Vanessa and her two boys through this state-sanctioned calamity, told a reporter, going on to say, the government killed one of their own. What about the children is a question often spouted by proponents of prohibition. We do not want children harmed from access to or use of illegal drugs as a propaganda that to them justifies such cruel, heartless, and heavy-handed tactics applied to serving no-knock drug warrants. What about the children of Jose Guerrera? Fortunately, if one can say there is anything fortunate, young Jose, just turning 6, was at school and missed the carnage at his family home, his family castle, and thus spared the savagery. Alas, for the even younger Joel, who was front and center to witness the bloodshed and brutality of this SWAT raid. He will live with this day seared into the psyche of his gray matter like the brand of a rancher on the hide of cattle. Forever will it leave its indelible mark upon this poor child, as is evident in the sweetly simple question posed in the fashion children inquire. Why did the police kill my daddy? Now, one of the most essential branches of English liberty is the freedom of one's house. A man's house is his castle, and whilst he is quiet, he is as well guarded as a prince in his castle. This writ, if it should be declared legal, would totally annihilate this privilege. James Otis Jr. spoke these words in February of 1761 in the old State House. For nearly 5 hours, he argued brilliantly on behalf of the Bostonian merchants against the writs of assistance. These writs of assistance, or written orders signed by the court that gave British officials the ability to search any premises on suspicion of smuggled goods being present, much like illicit drug search warrants of today. Although James Otis Jr. did not win the case and considered himself at the time a loyal British subject, his speech galvanized the revolutionary movement. in particular with a young John Adams, present at the oration, and so greatly moved that 30 years later he exaggeratingly proclaimed, "The child independence was then and there born, for every man of an immense crowded audience appeared to me to go away as I did, ready to take arms against writs of assistance." This concept of the home, the castle, being the most sacred of places that human beings cherish, dates back to Roman times, and we embody it with and guarantee this by our Constitution as the Fourth Amendment. Our forefathers guaranteed us the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Unfortunately, police establish increasingly creative ways to interpret probable cause and establish new territories for oath and affirmation with the establishment of paid informants, often criminals themselves, and the use of undercover officers perpetuating and perpetrating crime to catch criminals means that current drug laws abide by the letter of the Constitution. While they adhere to the letter of the Constitution, when one splits hairs, they at the same time serve to weaken the foundations of the Fourth Amendment and crumble the walls of our homes, our castles, leaving all citizens of the United States of America vulnerable, exposed to the turbulent and destructive winds of a dark, ominous storm called tyranny. Is that what our founding fathers fought for? Did they sacrifice life and limb for all Americans to have a chance at life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, so that one day the American state and federal governments can raid homes and kill the owners on suspicion of finding smuggled contraband, or in this case illicit drugs? No, I say, they did not fight and die so that one day America would walk the path of tyranny. They did not risk everything so that the citizens would walk blindly, oblivious of the fate awaiting them as they head toward the abyss. Nay, the founders of this great nation would implore the people to take action against the unjust letter of these laws that corrodes our society and kills its citizens. Join me, united as people, to stand up and speak out. Together we can end marijuana prohibition. Semper Fi. Such a tragic loss of life. Our hearts go out to Jose and his family. My only hope is that you will hear his tale and be moved to action. His story, unfortunately, is just one of the tens of thousands written in blood by the authors of Death and Destruction. Get off the couch and into the streets, Missouri. We are the gateway to legalization. Well, that wraps up this week's show. It was an honor and a privilege to be your host and provocateur of prohibition, dissension, and cannabis law reform, one that I hope you will grace me with our first official, grassroots, radio, active, marijuana episode, posting next week. You can listen to and download Graham at marijuana.podomatic.com, coming soon to iTunes. You can also friend or like Graham on Facebook. In addition, if you have any questions, comments, hate mail, complaints, fact corrections, or death threats, you can reach me at graham.cast@gmail.com. Finally, a sincere thank you to all the activists in whose steps I now tread and path I now follow, the Normal Show Live cast, crew, and devotees, John Doe Radio and the JD Army, Suso's many wonderful and talented volunteers, my loving and devoted father and grandmother, may she rest in peace, and last but not least, a sincere and heartfelt thank you to all of the listeners. You were brilliant. Oorah! That's a wrap! Grassroots Radio Active Marijuana provides content about marijuana law reform to responsible adults for informational purposes only. We do not condone or promote any illegal activity, nor are we responsible for anyone or their actions, and we encourage you to learn your federal, state, and local laws as well as constitutional rights. Advised you now are.